As we come to ponder this word, let us come together in prayer. God, send your Holy Spirit down upon us right now as we reflect upon the words that Eunice has just read for us. And we ask that our hearts will be open to whatever it is that we need to hear, and that it will make a difference in our lives. Send your Holy Spirit upon me and help me as I wrestled with this text this week and now have something to present. I just pray that my words will be your words and your message. Amen. Over the course of my father's life, he worked in several professions, last of which was being a photographer. As he was learning the art of photography, his family often became his practice subjects, something I confess that I did not always enjoy. I don't like posing for pictures. If you want a picture of me, take it when I'm not looking. But I have some professional photos of our boys now that I very much appreciate. One in particular is a portrait of our boys lying on their stomachs with their cousin Rachel seated between them, and she's holding a beautiful red rose. It's the perfect portrait, capturing their images at a happy time in all of our lives. The futures look so bright. Our boys were enjoying the simplicity of childhood, even as they were learning needed skills in elementary school. And Rachel, she was enjoying all the things that little girls enjoyed doing, even as she awaited the joy of having a sibling, a little sister, Hannah. What we did not know at that moment in time was that a dark and sad time was yet to come. Rachel's mother became ill with breast cancer. She had a mastectomy and went through chemo treatments, but in spite of all those treatments, in less than a year, she died, leaving behind my brother and their two lovely daughters. Rachel looks just like her mother. All that we have left are the happy memories that we revisit whenever we see photos like this special one. What a photographic moment it must have been for Peter, James, and John. They found themselves in the midst of an incredible moment when they went to the mountaintop with Jesus. It's on mountaintops where the Bible records many great stories, very special things that happened. On this mountaintop, the disciples witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus. Mark tells us that Jesus' garments became radiant. The word he actually used to describe the radiance was stilbene, used to describe the glistening gleam of shimmering brass or gold or of polished steel, or of the golden glare of the sunlight. Oh, what a sight that must have been for the disciples to see. And then a cloud overshadowed the scene, and God was in that cloud, and from the cloud, God spoke. The fact that God spoke from this cloud is reminiscent of Jesus' baptism. Do you remember that story? It connects these two stories for us. But these three disciples, they didn't have that story back at the baptism of Jesus, and so this was uniquely special for them. This was an awesome, unimaginable, even terrifying in a way, moment, likely leaving them speechless. The scripture tells us that Peter did not know what to say because he was terrified. and stumbling for something appropriate to say or to do, Peter suggested that they build three dwellings, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. It was almost as if he wanted to do something to commemorate that moment, you know, like taking a picture, so they would never forget that moment whenever they looked back on that picture. For the disciples, this was a moment to celebrate. Their teacher, Messiah, and friend was surrounded by the best of the best, Moses, the supreme lawgiver of Israel, Elijah, the first and the greatest of the prophets. Oh, and God, the Heavenly Father. If they ever had any doubts about whether following Jesus was a legitimate exercise and use of their lives, and that Jesus was indeed God's Son, the Messiah, witnessing this holy moment erased all of those doubts. For Jesus, on the other hand, this was a time of confirmation that he was indeed fulfilling God's plan. When these two great figures met with Jesus, it meant that the greatest of the lawgivers and the greatest of the prophets said to Jesus, "Go on now." It meant that they saw in Jesus the completion of the ultimate goal, the fulfillment of all that they had dreamed of in the past. It meant that they saw Jesus, and all that history that they had and longed for and hoped for and looked forward to was coming to completion. And it was as if at that moment, Jesus was assured that he was on the right path, because all of history had been leading up to the cross. He was heading to Jerusalem, and he knew what was to happen. There he would be rejected, persecuted, and die to save humanity from itself. Peter, James, and John would not have wanted this holy moment to be anything about this. They just did not understand, even though Jesus tried to warn them that he must suffer and die. In fact, something like 6 days prior to this mountaintop experience, Jesus predicted his death and resurrection for the first time to them. That time, Peter took Jesus aside and told him to stop talking so foolishly. Jesus then reprimanded Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan!" Mark tells us that Jesus predicted his death a second time, and even a third time. But the disciples, even after this moment of the transfiguration, still did not understand. So how could we expect them to see in this picture-perfect moment anything other than the good things they wanted to see? Into this photo op, as I mentioned earlier, came this great cloud. And from the cloud came the voice of God, so that the disciples could hear. You might remember that when God spoke from that cloud in Jesus' baptism, he said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The voice from heaven spoke directly to Jesus, giving him approval, his blessing, for the beginning of the ministry Jesus was about to embark on. This time, however, the voice of God spoke to the disciples. Did you notice that? He said this time, "This is my Son, the Beloved." And then he says, Listen to him. Listen to him. Did you catch that? Listen to him, God said. The voice identifies Jesus directly to the disciples, and then he commands them to listen to Jesus. The importance of listening becomes clear by comparing it with the scene that came before it, in which everything was visual. The disciples see the transfiguration of Jesus, the whiteness of his clothing, the appearance of Elijah and Moses alongside Jesus, the cloud that overshadows them. And then after the voice speaks, they look around, and the only thing they see is Jesus. Nothing's wrong with what the disciples have witnessed, except that they have not yet listened and heard what Jesus has been saying to them. So they are not yet ready to understand what they have seen. In other words, the heavenly voice calls the disciples to listen to Jesus as well as watch his deeds. It was a wonderful experience to witness over the years, the miracles and the healing that Jesus performed. It was inspiring to watch Jesus deal with people compassionately, even those considered the scum of the earth. And it must have been a delight to watch Jesus, with his wisdom and words, put the selfish and controlling religious leaders in their place. And here, to witness the amazing transfiguration of Jesus. What else can we say but wow? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be there? Wow. We can read the stories of Jesus and be amazed over who he was and what he did. We can look back over our own lives and recall moments when we have felt and seen Jesus at work in our own lives. We feel so close to him in those moments, and we wish that feeling would stay with us forever. It's kind of like when our youth go to National Youth Conference, to that mountaintop experience, both figuratively and literally speaking. And they have this great encounter with Jesus through uplifting worship, rich fellowship with Christians from all over the country, and even some from out of the country. And they have these intimate moments of sharing with one another about what they are learning at the conference. They feel closer to Jesus than they ever did before. It's a feeling they don't want to lose. Most of us have had these kinds of moments. They become like photos we hang on the wall, commemorating an unforgettable time. But now they're over, and perhaps the feeling they once held in us is gone, which is what sometimes happens to our youth when they come home from National Youth Conference. But are they over? Are they really gone? Not if we're listening to Jesus. What we have witnessed through personal life experiences and in the Word of God can continue to inspire us and motivate us in our Christian living if we will just listen to Jesus who speaks to us. When we witness Jesus in our lives and listen to Jesus through the biblical words and life experiences, we hold evidence of our loving Christ who came to save. We hold precious evidence that we should share at appropriate times. They are not to continue to be photos on a wall that we look at and just reminisce about. They are to be shared at the appropriate time. I hope you noticed that Jesus told his disciples as they were coming down the mountain that they should not tell anyone about what they had just seen until after his resurrection. And that tells us that there is an appropriate time to share a witness of Jesus. We need to discern when those times are. We know that it is the appropriate time to share our witness, our photo album of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit nudging us to do so, we do it. It's important for us to be able to recognize that when we share our witness, we are doing so for the benefit of others, not for ourselves. You understand what I'm saying here, right? We don't want to puff ourselves up like the Pharisees would do in the marketplace. Our witness is not to benefit us, but it's for God's work of leading others to Him. We go through life too often taking photos. I'm speaking figuratively, of course, or maybe not in some cases, of our special moments, our holy encounters with Jesus. We save them. But if all we do is look at them over and over, but don't really see, and if in them there is a message that we really are not listening to, what good is that photo of that moment? What good is it to hang it on the wall if we have forgotten what made those moments with Jesus so sacred? God's advice is to listen. Listen to the message Jesus conveys and be inspired to dig deeper into the things that will grow your own faith. Listen to Jesus and be motivated to share what you've personally come to know and understand about this sacred and divine man known as Jesus. Don't just share the words that are in the scriptures. Those are very important. But share your own witness of Christ in your life. He's your Savior. And He's the Savior for all the world. Let your photo ops with Jesus speak to others so they too can listen.